Good morning, everyone. Coming to you live from somewhere in the Middle East, it is Saturday morning's hottest streaming media political talk show, Inside the Eye, live with The Veg. Did I just hear someone tell a standing member of Congress that if it were up to them, they would dump the Israelis tomorrow? Sounds like something you might hear right here on Inside the Eye Live.
Fetch. What a man. Oh, my God. You have to listen to that show. He was brilliant. I didn't know he had gonads of steel like that and a mind like a frigging razor. I didn't realize he was so clear. He cut through this, that cognitive dissonance that is going on in the whole Patriot music movement.
And now it's time for Inside the Eye Live, intelligent media for the politically aware. All right, everybody, from Amman, Jordan, this is The Fetch, and you are live Inside the Eye. Today's date is Saturday, July the 14th, 2014, and a good Saturday morning to all of you listening in the United States and Canada. And a good late afternoon, early evening to all of you listening in European and Asian time zones. And, of course, wherever you are listening out there on the World Wide Web or our FM and micro FM broadcasting outlets, may all be well with you and yours. The weather here in Amman continues to provide with a very mild and comfortable summer as daytime highs hit only about 85 degrees today under very breezy conditions. Winds have been a steady 14 miles per hour out of the west, and as we approach sunset here, we also expect winds, of course, we do expect the winds to taper down as nightfall settles in. Temperatures right now are actually just after 5 o'clock here. They're actually right at the daytime high. It's 85 degrees, but that, of course, is going to yield to an absolutely delightful evening as temperatures will remain in the upper 70s throughout much of the evening, falling to around 74 around 11 o'clock tonight, and then hitting an ultimate low of 66 degrees in the hour before sunrise. So these conditions are expected to continue well into next week, making this but it's going to be one of the milder summers, really, I can recall in quite some time. All right, chat room, everybody's open, InsideTheEyeLive.com. That's InsideTheEyeLive.com. Click on the live chat button. There is, of course, a parallel chat room running over at Revolution.radio, separate moderation over there. You can join any chat room you like for the interactive activity. Telephone lines are going to be open early, 1-323-275-1314. That's 1-323-275-1314. And, of course, we are, again, live streaming on YouTube. The best way to get to that is to go to youtube.com/C/InsideTheEyeLive, which is the channel, and or just do a web search and you can get in that way. But check us out there. Now, we're going to have a guest in hour number three, and her name is Hannah. She's a millennial college student. She's from the southwestern part of the United States with German heritage, and she's going to be coming on to speak of her and many other young women's concerns about the rising crisis, really a rape crisis in the West as Jews flood our nations with more and more third world migrants. And, of course, that's part of the plan, guys. It's called Kalergi. If you're not up to speed on the Kalergi plan, you're probably a little bit late in getting educated on this issue, but nonetheless, we do recommend that you go check it out, the Kalergi plan and the planned implosion of the West. I mean, this is an actual plan. I mean, this has been funded and ongoing since about 1920, and the EU today is really just an extension of the Kalergi plan of yesterday and today equally. So you might want to check that out. But Hannah's going to be coming on to discuss some of that a little bit later today, 12 o'clock Eastern. You can catch Hannah. Today's July 14th, Bastille Day. I kind of get a kick out of Bastille Day. You know, it really is a regal affair. I don't know, after the show, maybe I'm going to walk. The French embassy is within walking distance. It's maybe a half mile away. That would be my guess. Maybe a half mile. So I could probably get there, I don't know, what, 7 minutes, something like that, if I walk kind of fast. And usually on Bastille Day, the streets, there's police, not really a lot of police, but you can see an increased police presence locally. Colored lights all over this main drag called Charazaran, and usually the red and the blue colors of France. And so, you know, and then lots of high class people. And I'm thinking, how do I crash this party? You know, I really want to crash one Bastille Day party. I've never done it, never tried, but I'd like to try. I think I would like to do that. I got to think of a way to get in, maybe commercial attaché or something. There's ways to do it, everybody, but you just got to be creative and not just be a jerk and get yourself arrested for breaking and crashing in. I'd like to come in legally, not sneak in, you know, that type of thing. I'm not into doing sneaky things like that. I got a pretty good reputation here in the Middle East, and I want to keep it. Thank you very much. Also, tomorrow, if you're not up to speed with global sporting events, tomorrow is the World Cup finals, and it's going to pit France against Croatia. And quite frankly, I'm going to be going to that. I've already reserved my seat. The hotel, it's not a hotel. I keep saying hotel. I don't know why I say hotel. The restaurant where I went last time to watch the semifinals, I said it wasn't busy that night. And I said, you know, do I need to get reserve a seat? And he said, well, we recommend that you do. It's going to be, of course, the finals. So they called me last night. We reserved everything last night for sure, final reservation. So I'm going to be going there. It starts about 6:00 p.m. local time. It's right behind one of Amman's more exclusive Chinese restaurants. So for those of you in the Chinese world, perhaps you can appreciate that. But it's going to be, again, behind this very high-end Chinese restaurant. It's not so expensive, but it's kind of high end. And I'm going to probably take dinner there tomorrow. I'm going to take a nice Chinese dinner. I haven't had a really good quality Chinese dinner in a really long time. Not that extensive of a time, but it's been probably about 6, 7, 8 months. So I'm going to go take a nice Chinese dinner. I'm going to go out back. I'm going to order a beer or two or three. And they're kind of expensive here, but it's Amman. What do you expect? It's a Islamic country, and the taxes on alcohol are pretty steep, to be truthful. But I'm going to take a couple beers, and I'm going to take some argila, shisha, and have the two gals with me that here support the house and help me out around the house. And we are going to go and just enjoy the night. It's going to be very pleasant. From 6 to 8 or so, it's going to make for a really nice evening. So I'm looking forward for that. You know, the fun thing about the World Cup is that you're looking at the real truth of multiculturalism and nationalism in Europe today. Because what we have is a multicultural team called France. And it's largely, yeah, there's a lot of native French at players there, but they're all Africans, quite frankly, and they're all basically second generation Africans. They've been brought up without multiculturalism. Quite frankly, France doesn't have a professional football program. I mean, they have to rely on this new migrant talent. They haven't been able to compete really on the global scene without this migrant talent. I was complaining about it the other day. Actually, I've written an article and I put it up about, you know, the World Cup, multiculturalism versus nationalism. And if you're a nationalist and you want to just kind of just find something to root for, well, certainly and without a doubt, this game presents you with a very clear cut answer. Root for Croatia. It's a small country for 3.9 million people. It's basically large. It's comprised of Croatians. There aren't any migrants. There aren't any rent-a-players there from some other country. So go check it out. It should be kind of a fun experience, especially for those of you out there in the world today. You know, I tried to get Graham Hart on the show today, and he's actually watching today the England-Belgium match. And that should be an actual pretty good game. I think it's going to start now or in the next hour or so. So because of that, we couldn't book Graham. I wanted to talk to him about the World Cup. You know, he actually coaches a soccer team, football team in his native Cornwall up there in the UK. So it would have been fun to bring Graham on just to talk a little football World Cup. But that didn't happen. But, you know, the real issue now is that for those of you out there that are talking about nationalist issues, talking about white nationalism or whatever other term you want to use out there, the football game, the soccer game really does give you an opportunity to explain in a very polite way the effects of multiculturalism and how it is starting to destroy the national framework of Western Europe. You know, if you go to Japan, you don't see 15 black guys playing for Japan. And if you go to Korea, you're not seeing 12 black guys playing for Korea. And if you go to Senegal down in Africa, you don't see 15 white guys playing for Senegal. Basically, the only countries that you find, quite frankly, this multicultural morass is coming from, you guessed it, Western Europe. And Western Europe, of course, is dominated by Jewish politicians who are not looking out for Western Europeans. They are looking out for what's good for Jews. And what's good for Jews is to be able to create as much of a sea of morass as possible so that they can basically hide behind this morass and from there rule our countries by, if not proxy, then straight up ruling our countries. And they don't want any of us from the Western nations to even have a say in the political world. They want to basically keep us blocked out of any political expression, and that is something that is going to be somewhat of a theme here in this show later today. You know, Donald Trump, of course, he's in the UK. He's your typical bull in a china shop type of thing. He's been making a lot of comments, including that about immigration. We got some clips about that. He's made comments about, you know, the thing I don't like about Trump is he talks about the radical Islamic terror. Well, you know, there's a difference, folks, between state-sponsored terror and just overt imported crime by our Jewish elites. And this is a key issue here because you hear all the time this radical Islamic terror, radical Islamic terror. There's, you know, at the end of the day, terror is a state-sanctioned fabrication. It's state-sanctioned. It's done in a way to try to pull populations into a particular perception in order to get them to be more compliant to a quote-unquote government agenda. When you're really, what you see happening here in the West, it's not so much terror. This is essentially a bunch of morons at the elite level, playing politician, who are importing criminal elements. That's not quote-unquote terror, folks. This is just massive crime. It's not terror. It's massive crime. And the problem we have is that there's not enough people aware of the fact that nobody, understand this, virtually nobody grants people citizenships if they are from non-ethnic parts of the countries in question. You are not going to get a citizenship in Korea very easily. It's going to take you, if it's even possible, years upon years upon years. You're not going to magically become Chinese. You're not going to magically become Saudi. You are not going to magically become Jordanian. You are not going to magically become virtually any place in the world except where we have Jews in power. Folks, this is something very critical to remember now, because all of this tug and emotional crap that you're given in your media isn't even part of the political sphere out there in the real world. You don't have that. You have a lot of Palestinians complaining to me about how they were born in Saudi Arabia. Their children were born in Saudi Arabia. Saudi Arabia is all they know, but they will never get Saudi citizenship. Saudi Arabia saying, look, we gave you a refugee status when these Jews kicked you out and your family's out, but we are not going to grant you citizenship to our countries. And that's a key point here. There is no reason why any Somalian in America should ever, ever be granted citizenship in America. It shouldn't happen. plain and simple. There's no reason why any Jew coming from Israel should be granted citizenship. There's absolutely no reason why any Jew coming from Russia should ever have been granted any citizenship. There is no reason why anyone from Japan, all due respect to my friends from Japan, should have been given a U.S. citizenship. It just shouldn't happen. Look, I believe in diplomatic reciprocity. If I can go to Japan tomorrow and Japan is going to make a very simple, easy path for me and my family to become citizens there, okay, fine. Maybe we can consider for the Japanese as Americans. If other countries are going to grant me citizenship, okay, let's sit down and talk at the table about having some form of diplomatic reciprocity. I'm not going to go to Saudi Arabia with all due respect and be granted citizenship. I don't expect it. But then again, diplomatic reciprocity, why should it be granted in return? When you have a one-sided immigration policy, what you have is a complete failure, quite frankly, in your nations. And that's what we find happening all over the place. And Donald Trump was talking about that in the UK, basically saying, look, you've created war zones. You're destroying your culture. You're destroying your nation. And, you know, he's talking straight up. Millions upon millions of people have been brought into European countries. And really, for what, folks? There's no labor need. There's no labor shortage for sure. There is no valid excuse to be allowing Jewish nonprofits, Jewish billionaires like Soros, to fund the implosion of our nations. Folks, when you allow this type of criminal activity to rule over your nations, well, guess what? Your nations are going to implode by default. You must have some quality in the structure of your government, institutions. Look at America today. They just indicted 12 Russians for Russiagate. Dudes, we have so much ancillary evidence about Jewish treason on 9/11. And you guys want to sit there and go talk about the Russians. Okay, literally talk about the Russians. Give us a break already. You have got Jewish control in virtually every single phase of American politics today. And you're talking about Russians. And now, if you want to say they're Russian Jews, okay, I'm going to go with you on that one just to give a little bit of compromise here. But for you guys to sit there and tell us it's Russia, 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 Russia all the time, well, quite frankly, folks, I'm kind of sick of it. I'm tired of seeing it. I don't see why we should have to continue to put up with a mainstream media that is as destructive and harmful as we are seeing in America today. You know, just going through some of the Trump stuff, you know, he was speaking to the Sun, something to that effect. You know, one of the big things Trump seems to be on right now is having everybody increase their military spending. You know, everywhere he goes, you need to increase your military spending. You need to spend more. You need to spend more. But for what? Military economies are failures. They've always been failures. They can get you temporarily out of a tight spot, but long term you produce nothing. You're not producing anything that has lasting value. It doesn't. Look, if I build a hotel, it can serve me for 20 years, 30 years. If I build a resort, it can serve me for 10, 12, 15 years. If I build a missile, it's $1 million and it sits on a shelf till it's used, and then everything is destroyed once it's used anyways. Military defense policies or military economies are typically 1/7 what they should be. Literally, if we were to get rid of our current military policies and start to reinvest all of that money back into a peace economy, the money we're just handing out to Northrop Grumman, you name it, all of these clowns that have these defense contracts with the United States and elsewhere, you would see your economy grow multiple times, literally multiple times, because a peace economy generally is 7 to 10 times stronger than military economies. Folks, you're not producing anything at the end of the day. You're not producing crap. You're producing what? Old tow weapon systems and other stuff. It's just kind of crazy, folks. They're talking about Trump. Going back to Trump, you know, they actually did get to fly their Trump balloon in the baby suit. And then, of course, in the diapers going up in London, that was kind of a chuckle thing. But at the end, really, when you break it down, to Trump's credit, you know, the guy is a billionaire. and very strong mentally. You can see that he's got some, he's got command of an audience. You can see that when he walks in the room. Quite frankly, when it comes to power and money is the key measure here, he dwarfs everybody in those rooms. Anytime he walks into a political meeting with May or Stoltenberg or Merkel or any of the other clowns that are running Europe right now, Trump literally commands the room. I mean, he can, if he wants to, say, you guys are just low-life nobodies, you know. You're literally sucking on the teat of the public, and he can say that straight up and mean it, because, quite frankly, Trump's not even taking a salary per se. I mean, that's not saying he's not benefiting business-wise from his being president. I'm sure he is. But nonetheless, you guys get what I mean by that. But basically, you know, Trump is tweeting out all this foreign policy stuff, calling hospitals war zones. But the main thing I don't like, quite frankly, is mislabeling things. You don't need to call bringing in a bunch of criminal elements from the Middle East or from sub-Saharan Africa, which they are Muslims in this case, and then calling it terror is inaccurate. If you want to have and show the Pakistani grooming gangs and the organized criminal syndicates that are operating within the Pakistan community in London, I don't have a problem with that, because it's not quote unquote terror as you know it. Terror is state sanctioned, state sponsored. Another this silliness coming out of the UK that I saw this week is this over preponderance of how the UK political elite or the political establishment, they were so interested in proving how they were, quote unquote, fighting hate. You know, what a stupid thing to tell an educated electorate. You're, quote unquote, fighting hate. There's no such thing as fighting hate. People either are going to follow the law or they're not. Who cares whether it's hate? You can hate me all day. I don't care. As long as I'm not harmed by it in any way, I'm not going to worry too much, quite frankly. But if you're doing like Jewish people are doing and calling us neo-Nazis, and with that comes a predilection, maybe? My vocabulary sucks today already. Anyways, you know, when you're calling people, you know, calling people words in such a way that you mean to harm them, and that harm is soon to follow and acted upon, yeah, then I might have a problem with that equally. But at the end of the day, it's a battle of words. It's a battle of power. It's a battle of who controls the police, etc. And right now, quite frankly, we don't have any of that. But we certainly need to grab some of this power, because Jewish power is simply getting absolutely, completely out of hand. Trump was saying that the wave of migrants from the Middle East and Africa is permanently changing Europe for the worse. And who could argue with that? I mean, honestly, who could argue with that? I have obviously many Muslim friends, because I live in the Middle East for 10, 12, 15 years now. I've been coming here, honestly, since 2005, off and on, and been living here steadily since 2008, started 2008, basically. So I've been here a very long time. And even a lot of my colleagues think Europe sucks. The European elite are a bunch of morons for allowing their countries to be overrun by this cesspool. He says, these aren't Muslims. This is trash. They're telling me. These are Muslim people telling me that the European elite is allowing nothing but trash into their countries. Think about that, folks. Muslims themselves at an elite level are telling me that Europe is filled with trash. Think about that. Every time some Jew wants you to be politically correct, it's time for you to start to push back, quite frankly, against all of this political correctness. It's the Fetch, everybody. Good morning. It's Saturday, July 14th, Bastille Day, the day we start to really, I think we should turn Bastille Day into former France Remembrance Day. The day we remember that France used to be a European nation, but it no longer really is. It's essentially well on its way to being a Northern African outpost in Europe. I mean, basically, that's kind of how France is going. They just had some major riots in a city called Nantes, something like that, N-E-N-T-E-S or something like that. These riots went on for 4 or 5 days, you know, and police can't even get a handle on all of the stuff going on in the UK, or I'm sorry, in this city. So, folks, there's a lot of stress and turmoil everywhere. You know, we've created a political, not we, but the political powers have created such a political environment that there is absolute major, major organized violence ready to go against any populist slash nationalist sentiments. It's become very, very clear to a lot of us out there. And people aren't even this Jewish funded left, they're not even hiding the fact that they are all in for violence against the American people. I saw something the other day that basically, you know, Americans should expect thousands of bombings in America. And remember, even I was too young to know, but apparently, America went through thousands of bombings in the 1970s as part of this attempt to break down the society. So I think right now the left, which is Jewish funded, they're looking to really start a war in America. There is this narrative of civil war going on in America. The level of rhetoric coming from the Jewish media points to this civil war. The reality of it is that the patriot side of our nations, we have probably, it's estimated close to 8, get this number, folks, 8 trillion bullets in the patriotic hands. And the vast majority of the guns in America are in the patriotic hands. And quite frankly, the patriotic movement of America has not yet begun. Has not begun to even begin. Yeah, they haven't been organized yet to defend themselves. The war that we see in America between corporate America, the chemtrails, the bogus food that they're feeding people, the chemicals in water and elsewhere, all of these factors are part of the corporate war against the American people. We have yet to get into the street level where Jewish groups are. All right, everybody, welcome back. It's the Fetch Inside the Eye, live intelligent media for the politically aware, right here on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. I guess you could probably still get there, but it's at revolution.radio. And again, we are the largest listener, sponsored, and supported radio station going right now. We probably have 80, 83 hosts, something like that out there. Inside the Eye Live, of course, is one of the main shows going. Folks, I'm just going to grab a little bit of tea here, if you don't mind. Actually, the girls bought this thing for me. It's a giant beer mug. But what could I say? Can't complain too much, right? It's a gift. So, but it's just so darn big, and everything else is so darn small in my house. I don't have, like, that just right drinking glass. You know, this one is too small. This one is too big. This one is, I don't have the, this one is just right. Anyways, you know, we are listener sponsored, supported. It really does rely upon your donations to help keep the network alive, up and running. We do appreciate really all the support we do get from you. And of course, to run these operations does take money, as you can see now with the live stream and everything else. We are, The new website, which quite frankly, it's been moved to a new, and everything's been moved to try to make it streamlined and more cost effective. We're trying to reduce our expenses here as we move into really year number 8, believe it or not. That's right. It's going to be year number 8, at the end of this month, something like that. But folks, we need the platform to operate. We cannot do this show without, well, we can, but we won't. How's that? So just do your part. Keep the network alive, up and running. We really appreciate all the support we do get, and there are many ways to support the network. Do that, and of course, you can support this show equally, you know, anytime you want. You know, it's got its expenses too. But anywhere you can is anything you can do to help keep these platforms alive. We do not have, quite frankly, the billions of dollars that Jewish organizations throw at keeping people like the Fetch off the air. And trust me, this show has had over the last 3 weeks, really since the, really 3 weeks ago, we have been under major types of stress and duress. We've seen our numbers crater by over 50%, and we believe it's because of getting blocked. We think that we think it's a little bit more than just you, the listener, abandoning the show. We think that there's something fishy going on out there, folks, and it just tells you how important platforms are. I mean, one of the platforms we were on, we know, is run by a Jewish group, but we had not had any problems for years and years. And now all of a sudden we make a show that somebody doesn't seem to like out there, and we see our numbers crater by half. So folks, we're aware of the problem. We do get it. We've lost many audiences in the past because we did not have a platform to operate from. So again, I'm getting a little too old to keep building these platforms. So if you appreciate what I do here, please then get out there and support Revolution Radio. And you can do that through revolution.radio. That's correct, revolution.radio. The ITEL Cat Report is sponsored by North Kakalaki Trading Post, good services and solutions for all creatures, great and small. It's inconveniently located at the corner of Walk and Don't Walk, and by Blackbird Nine's Breakfast Club, a radio show hosted by what we say is our very own Blackbird Nine. And generally, you can see him in the chat room. I see him in the chat room now. Blackbird, hiya. And Hanshan, I haven't seen or heard from you in a while, too, Hanshan. But you're in the chat room, Spoon Man and Merbailey, anti-semi-semi, something like that. And a new name, Joe Friday. I haven't seen that in a while. But, guys, all the support we get, we appreciate it, including, of course, from BlackbirdNineTradingPost.org, which is where you can catch Blackbird Nine's Breakfast Club, a show hosted again by Frederick C. Blackburn. He's a 9/11 truth advocate, a former 32-degree Mason, and a former North Carolina House candidate. You can hear Blackbird Nine's Breakfast Club every Wednesday evening at 8 o'clock p.m. on Spreaker. That's 8 o'clock a.m. or p.m. on the Spreaker Radio Network, and all the links are available through BlackbirdNineTradingPost.org. Cat report. Well, first of all, leading up into the show today, I had a pretty cool time. I had Bruiser straight ahead sleeping in the window, and I had One Eye sleeping on the couch. He's got his own favorite blanket here. Basically, One Eye's favorite places to sleep, folks, in the house are my shirts. So because it's hot and I'm a Southern California beach guy, and I'm still reasonably in shape, folks, I'm not like I was when I was young, okay? But I'm still reasonably in shape, so I'm usually topless around here. And when my shirts get set down because I just want to cool off a bit, well, One Eye is the first to find them, and he just kind of plops down on my shirts, and that's where One Eye likes to sleep. So he's been doing that all week, so we haven't even washed my shirts yet because he keeps sleeping on them when it's wash time, and he doesn't want to be disturbed. And Bruiser, we had to kick him out of the window here. He was in my window straight ahead. Here in the office, I had to kick him out because, you know, it's tough to do the show when you're about 100 meters, that's yards, folks, to those of you who don't know, about 100 meters from the closest mosque. And, of course, when they start to blare out, it gets really loud, so we had to kind of stop that. So I have to shut the windows, and that meant Bruiser, he's no longer here. He's somewhere around the house. I don't know where he is. And then we've got the two kittens that they kind of like show up every night. Last night I went outside and they're there. And I swear the one kitten, it's a female. She wants attention more than food. She would much rather have you just pet her for hours and hours on end. It seems minutes after minutes, she just refuses to leave you alone when you go outside. She just loves attention. I don't trust her. She's a little rambunctious with the way she moves and stuff. She's like very, very frisky. I'm not sure what to make of this kitten, but she's okay. She likes to fit into the house and things like that, sneak in. Often we take a call at this time of day, but hi, welcome to Inside the Eye Live.
Is it like against protocol or something to call out our leaders as shills? I mean, is that something that we shouldn't do?
Well, I mean, because I don't know what you mean by
every show I call, I can put out about 20 points of why we shouldn't have the leaders we have in charge as leaders. And okay, I get hung up on, you know, I don't understand it. And then they start, they say I'm a rabbi or something for saying that, because they're so hooked into this. You know, they want a liar to be, to lead them. Is that what you want, Fetch?
Well, again, nobody's leading me personally, and I'm not trying to be a leader myself. I mean, for us on this show, we just do a show, and it's not something we focus on the other guys and gals doing their thing out there. It's, we don't even have, as you know, good cross promotion between us. So I don't care, quite frankly, what they're doing. I don't even know. If you want the truth, I don't know who these people even are, because I don't bother
with your show, Fetch. They're all over your show. This guy Colette, this guy Frank from North Carolina, he can call into David Duke and talk to him like he's his best buddy. If I call in, I get put on hold for the entire show, and I can't even ask a damn question.
What can I
say? Why can't we allow the truth to come out? You know, like, go ahead and say what you want about me. I don't care. But if you hang up on me, that is a total losing argument every time, and people are going to see right through it. Now, if we don't cut out the shills in our lead, we're not going anywhere, Fetch. You know that.
Well, all I can say is it's a heck of a lot better than it was 10 years ago. And everything is,
you know what? It's
everything
not a
has
heck
to
of a
be
lot better. It's just been put into overdrive because there are more people out there seeking the truth. Now, you know, I'm hearing people on RBN right now, the Stormfront guys on RBN, claiming that they're Christian followers. And Don Black and David Duke, they're not even, David Duke's an evolutionist, and Don Black is an atheist. So, I mean, you know, these facts have to be constantly put in. Not that I hate everybody that's, an atheist or whatever. I mean, but hey, let's at least talk about it. Let's get the truth of it. You know, if they're going to talk about biblical things too, let's find out if they're telling the truth about it, or they're just using lies to use that as propaganda. You know what I mean? Like saying Jews in Egypt.
I don't have a problem with that per se on a proper forum. You know what I mean? But we do like we do our show here, and it's just not a place where I would want the show to go. You know,
that's just one instance, Fetch. Okay. I called you before about 10 years of not saying anything about 9-1-1, letting Edgar Steele rot in jail and die in jail without saying a bloody word. And some of these guys used to be followers of the guy that Steele offended or defended in court, Pastor Richard Butler. But yet they let Edgar Steele rot in jail, the guy that was trying to protect him. Now, you know, all of this hypocrisy is just, it's over the top, and it needs to be told, and we need to have a true leadership. Somebody that is open. Hey, if you're an atheist and that's your position, you know, stick to it. Don't try to be something else one time and something else another. So
well,
that we're all
what,
totally
see-
confused.
Listen, I'll tell you what, you know, that type of thing, I actually don't have a problem. I think it is fair to know who the leadership is in any particular movement, because I agree with you. There's a lot of deception out there. As a show here, please, I just don't want to involve, you know, giving credence to too much. You know, I take people only because I'm being recommended to these people. I don't even know, like, you know, when you say Mark Collette's this and that, I don't even know he was on David Duke. I learned that from him. These aren't things
I don't know the guy either. Where did he come from? Where the heck did he come from?
Yeah, he apparently is a former BNP guy.
Let me tell you
something, Fetch. But just hold on.
I told you before, I've been on the forums longer than you have, probably, on Liberty Forum. I was there. You know, I knew the skunk is one of the best guys for truth ever on the internet. Mm-hmm. You remember the skunk? Yeah.
Yeah, I remember the skunk.
One of the best guys ever. You know what? He was an atheist. It didn't matter to me. He was truthful. Yeah. I respected his opinion. Because he wasn't a hypocrite. He wasn't something one day and something different another day in order to lead the people into a pit. You know, so that is what I'm talking about. You look for the hypocrisy. That is what is the key behind any leadership. If the guy is full of hypocrisy, he's trying to mislead. He's trying to stay in the front.
And
so
honestly,
others will follow him.
And from my point, I don't know anything about these guys to even comment. I can't. I don't know anything. I do my thing. I get off the air, and I got my business to manage here in the Middle East, you know? So I'm not involved in it.
Used to be on a forum where you could be nailed down, you know? That's where the real truth comes from, you know? You have a name. You show us what your ideology is, and mm-hmm. then you get challenged on it, you know? And if we're not challenging people on their ideology, you know, like this David Duke, he comes on the show 5 days a week. He's never questioned. And people, like, call in and follow him like he's some kind of leader. It's a total joke, man. I mean,
okay.
He can't take any questions because he's full of hypocrisy. And I don't want somebody full of hypocrisy leading any movement of mine.
Okay.
You understand that?
Yeah, I get you. Okay. I get you. I mean, and you got your point in, so. And you're
why is it nobody... Nobody on no, none of these Stormfront morons get me. They just say, hey, you're wrong because, oh, he's such a great guy. And they're not going to question him on anything, even though he can't even pronounce words correctly. You know, it says anti-Semitic, not anti-Semitic. It's anti-Semitic. Sephardic, not Sephardic. You know, and Haaretz is Haaretz. The guy can't even read, Fetch. Can't even read.
Well, you know, so, I'm not here to get into a match against that right now, but I hear you, okay?
Well, I'm telling you, it's the truth. I mean, if you pronounce words wrong, you either never heard them taught in a classroom or you can't read. It's one or the other. Okay. All right, Fetch, thanks for your time. I appreciate it. I know it's difficult for you to take questions from me, but...
But no, okay, thanks for calling in, man. That was at least we could get that one in. Thanks so much for the call. All right, everybody. I think I got to get his name. Next time I have to get it. But basically, we were somewhere on the Cat Report, I think, something like that. We were on the Cat Report. But the Cat Report, everybody's just kind of calm. And I just wanted to say again, is brought to you by Blackbird 9 Trading Posts and North Cackalacky Trading. Actually, Blackbird 9's Breakfast Club and North Cackalacky Trading Post, good services and solutions for all creatures, great and small. Please visit, and I see that a lot of you have been through the website there. Visit blackbird9tradingpost.org. That's blackbird9tradingpost.org for more information.
Oy vey. Oy gewalt. It's like another shower.
Oy vey.
Oy vey.
Oy vey, everybody.
Hollywood is run by Jews. It's owned by Jews. Very goddamn angry at some of the Jews.
I thrive on William Pierce.
Oy vey!
Oy vey, everybody!
The Oy vey moment is proudly sponsored by Andrew Carrington Hitchcock, author of The Synagogue of Satan, Updated, Expanded, and Uncensored. The Synagogue of Satan, Updated, Expanded, and Uncensored features a rapturous 144,000 words that is replete with additional articles never before seen in print. And after having its distribution banned by Amazon and Lulu, The Synagogue of Satan, Updated, Expanded, and Uncensored is now available from Barnes Review at barnesreview.org. Order your copy today, won't you? Of course, don't forget to listen to Andy's The Andrew Carrington Hitchcock Show, which streams every Monday through Friday at 10 o'clock a.m. to 11 o'clock a.m. Eastern on Eurofolk Radio at eurofolkradio.com. To listen, simply visit eurofolkradio.com during showtime and click on the Listen Live Now link, or visit andrewcarringtonhitchcock.com for Andy's free show archives, which comprises one of the most extensive guest lists in the alternative media.
And this week's Oy vey moment is going to be coming to us from the United Kingdom. And it again revolves around this expanding, tyrannical, Talmudic octopus known as the definition for anti-Semitism. And before I get into that, I just wanted to comment about something that was raised a few weeks ago that saw our numbers, quite honestly, did crater. We believe they're going to come back, bounce back once people figure out what's going on. However, one of the issues that was raised, and I've always said this, and if you go all the way back to the Oy vey moment, not the Oy vey moment, but the Bob Tuscan tussle, which really set the terms of how we're going to deal with Jewish attempts to frame the debate. We mentioned back then that it was something like 93% of Jews really cannot be trusted, something to that effect. Mainly we base that on a particular metric in the state of Israel where Jews determine who or what percentage of Jewish people in Israel are quote-unquote enemies of the state. They have some type of – it's a very obscure thing, and I haven't seen it in years. But there, in fact, I saw it first going way back before 2012. But there's this very obscure little metric that they have inside of Israel that measures your compliance to the state of Israel and to Jewish power within the state of Israel and pretty much globally equally. And it found that some like 7% of Israelis were considered kind of like enemies of the state. So I'm thinking, okay, if you're going to sit there and talk to me how many Jews can be trusted, I'll go for that 7% only. I'm not going to trust any of the other 93%. Because I was taking a statistical metric brought to us by the Israeli government. Now, of course, that I used a Jewish source to debate a Jewish issue just simply meant back then I was an anti-Semite. That should be part of the definition. We should have the input on these definitions of what is and is not, quote unquote, anti-Semitic. And we've got more of that coming up again in hour number two before our guest Hannah comes in hour number three. Now, there was an article that came out recently. Again, this is coming out of the UK, and it says Labour, meaning the Labour Party in the UK, I see one, needs to realize Jews' identity. Jews' identity, not Jewish identity. Jews' identity is inexorably linked to Israel. Now, when I'm having debate certain people that want to talk BS to you, honestly, BS to you. Oh, it's anti-Semitism. It's Zionism. It's this. It's Zionism. It's that. And they don't want you to use the word Jew. And here I'm looking at an article from the Jewish Chronicle in the UK. It's one of the largest private/digital publications in the UK on Jewish life in the UK. And their headline reads straight up. This is coming out of July 13, yesterday. Labor needs to realize Jews' identity is inexorably linked to Israel. Now, again, how these clowns, these shills, if you want to use that term, these gatekeepers, get up in our faces collectively and say, you can't say the word Jew. It's got to be Zionist. Or else you're not fit to manage a show here. Well, again, I'm not going to back down. I don't care how much things crater. We're going to tell the truth here. So here we've got this thing coming out that we are told we must recognize Jews and Israel are linked. It's not Zionists, folks. It's Jews. Otherwise, 93% of Jews are Zionists, in which case, who cares whether you want to conflate Zionists or Jews? They're the same thing, see? And they're telling you they're the same thing. So don't be so quick to back away from how we are framing the argument on a political scale here, because we are seeing it more and more and more inside of the national debate. But I go down to the very last paragraph of this thing, and it says here, the 7% of the Jewish community that do not perceive Israel to be relevant to their Jewish identity are entitled to hold their opinion, or that opinion, whatever that opinion is. Okay, well, that's my point. I told you 93%. Really, I said 93%. And I've been saying about 93% of this Jewish entity is essentially lock, stock, and barrel anti-American. 7% you can trust. That's about it. And here they're saying, well, only 7% of the Jewish community that do not perceive Israel to be relevant. Okay, fine. But if the Labour Party wants to bring a close to the sorry saga, again, why do you Jews have to always inject these offensive, egregious, disgusting words in our faces? Is it because Jews are just egregious, offensive, and disgusting? Is that the reason why Jews need to talk this way? Okay, it's okay. I can't hear, but it's okay. Hopefully next time I can hear it. It needs, let's see. But basically, guys, it boiled down to that, is that here we've been lectured by a bunch of classless clowns out there about how to use particular words in a political sense. as if somehow their research is so superior to my own. Folks, don't ever back down if you know you're right. Here's another case where, again, we are being proven right in how we dealt with certain particular people out there. Now, moving on. Jews now, I mean, they just complain. They whine. My goodness. They are now complaining that the Labour Party in the UK, see, in the UK, because of the Palestinian issues, they still have some, what do you call that, descent to Jewish power. It's not based on European / British support. There's no support in the British for British nationalism and therefore against Judaism and Jewish power in the nation. That's not happening. The power pushback, the dissent in the UK is all based essentially, from what I can tell, based on the Palestinian issue. It's a real issue. Americans don't deal with it so much, but let's be honest, the Balfour Declaration is, again, a British construction. And so the British, I guess, to this day, they seem fairly keenly motivated to keep the Palestinians in their hearts and minds. I'm not sure what the story is, but the architect of the International Holocaust Remembrance Alliance is, again, they never consulted us, and not one part of our definitions were ever allowed in. We should have our International Alliance for Holocaust remembrance, and we should define these terms. Again, we don't have the money to sit around like a bunch of idiots and just discuss nonsense all day, which is exactly what this is. They have created an entire industry of do-nothing nobodies paid for by the taxpayer, because remember, these are all nonprofits. They're all NGOs working with Jewish money that's taken out of your tax base, everybody. But here they're saying that that refusal to accept their definitions is a complete utter disregard for Jewish British citizens or for British Jews. They're not really, I don't know how you can call them citizens. But my point is this now. If we're going to have a situation where Jews are going to tell us straight up on a political realm that, hey, look, if you don't accept what we tell you to accept, it's utter disregard for us. Well, why don't we just say, you know what? You're trying to push these laws or complete utter disregard for the rest of us Americans. So who's the real totalitarian here? You 2% who are trying to show utter disregard for us Americans, us British, us French. Well, forget the French. I'm almost like forget the French. the Swedes, okay, Denmark, etc. Where's the utter disregard here? Why is it always a one-way street that only Jews get to be, quote-unquote, oh, you're disrespecting us? Well, the fact that you're putting these laws into place disrespects us. It's a complete affront to our entire essence here. The definitions are lame, folks. All right. The music is back, everybody. Great. Thanks so much. It's The Fetch, everybody. Inside the Eye, live. Intelligent media for the politically aware. Back with more right after. All right, everybody. Welcome back. It's The Fetch, Inside the Eye, live, intelligent media for the politically aware. Seems like the what do you call this? The stream just shut off. I don't know if I accidentally turned it off or whatever, but it seemed like the stream, the software just broke down, and I'm not sure we are actually streaming at the moment. I'm going to reconnect everybody to the YouTube. Just hang on one quick second here. And YouTube, yeah, I have no idea what happened. It just seems like something. I walked back and everything was disconnected. So nonetheless, we're going to try to reconnect real quickly right now and call this A, and I'll fix everything later, start the broadcast. So folks, we are restarting up the stream now. Again, we're not exactly sure what happened, but everything looks like it's streaming okay normally now. So just check it out again, InsideTheEyeLive.com. Check on the live chat button there up there on the menu bar. That will get you in the door for the chat room. And as far as the live stream goes now, it looks like we are now again live. We do apologize for that. We're not exactly sure what happened. So just kind of log back in, everybody, because we're not sure what happened. Just like it dropped. Let's see. What else is news? You know, the United States has really got a lot of egg on its face. And the reason why it's got a lot of egg on its face is because a lot of heavy weapons. U.S. heavy weapons has been discovered in the Daraa province. Now, if you're not familiar with Daraa in Syria, Daraa is the place where the Syrian revolution was said to have kicked off way back in 2011, 2012. And so as we've looked at, as the Syrian army has rolled up the last vestiges of American projection, power projection in this area, they are finding just massive amounts of weapons left behind or provided to these people by the Americans. Now, the Russians are saying quite clearly and straight up, this is absolute evidence that the Americans are involved in trying to overthrow the government. And hard to argue that point. This is a violation of international law. It's a violation of just every norm of civility out there. To think that American individuals operating under cloud of secrecy are able to go and destroy a country just because they feel like it and then flood Europe and create tons of problems for Europeans and Americans equally, all because, hey, they feel that they have a right to do it and then not be held responsible. This is a complete crime against the American people. Folks, this is a crime against Americans, not just the Syrians. These people should be brought out into the daylight, and I don't care if you hang them or shoot them, quite frankly. You cannot be engaging in this type of activity using the American people and the secrecy of the state as cover just for your own private agenda. This idea that you're going to go out there and you're going to take down seven countries in 5 years, and then you manage to get a lot of them, but once you get into one that's not a desert, it's a lot harder. And now all of a sudden you're getting egg on your face everywhere you turn. You've left tow weapon systems everywhere. What a bunch of idiots, quite frankly. What a bunch of idiots. You got mortar shells. You've got rounds and rounds and rounds of ammunition. You got sniper rifles. You name it, the Russians are finding so much crap now in southern Syria that you might as well have just opened up a U.S. depot and said, here, come. Whatever terrorists come, just take our guns. So, you know, don't talk to us so much about, quote unquote, Islamic terror without first dealing with the instruments of state that are enabling it. And half of that's coming from the United States. And we all know that the United States isn't even the United States anymore as we would like to think of it. It's much larger, just the expanded Israeli project. So don't talk to us again about Islamic terror all the time without dealing with the fact that our governments are run and managed by a bunch of people that have their loyalties to Israel. It's very simple, folks. This amount of weaponry, and you should start to do your own research on the web to try to pull out the data again and really get the information. You're going to find out very clearly that this was not just some uprising. This was a planned takedown of a nation state. It violates every single norm of international law, and it should be dealt with accordingly, and that means we bring out those criminals in hours. You know, I don't care, man. I seriously, I don't care. I would love to see those in the CIA that were responsible for this complete disaster. And it is a disaster for the American people. Seriously, it's a disaster. It's a cluster F, to use an old military term. It's a literally cluster F. All for what? A bunch of goons in Israel? And a bunch of Israeli-centric morons in our policy-making bodies in America? I mean, guys, we have been led by a bunch of complete ideological morons for 20 years. And it's about high time that the American nationalist movements, and I know you're not really out there too much, but it's high time that you guys do something to start to take this all back. Oh, very good. I see One Eye across the way. Hey, One Eye, he's way on the hill on the other side of my house here. He's digging, and that means he's got to go to the bathroom, poor guy. That's actually why he goes out. He likes to just go out, doesn't like to use the roof litter box that we've made for all the cats. He goes upstairs. Then he'll come across, and he'll be crying at the window. Trust me, he'll be crying at the door not too long from now. Let's see here. You know, the Oyvind moment, we just want to say again, it was from the last moment. It's sponsored by, again, the Andrew Carrington Hitchcock Show. And again, he's got a new show every day of the week. And you can hear the Andrew Carrington Hitchcock Show at eurofolkradio.com. That's eurofolkradio.com. And check it out. Again, he's got a lot of great interviews, and he's got one of the
very much hurt, Jeremy.
One of the most extensive lists out there.
Of Europe.
This is Trump
in Europe. And I know it's politically not necessarily correct to say that, but I'll say it, and I'll say it loud. And I think they better watch themselves, because you are changing culture. You are changing a lot of things. You're changing security. Look at what's happening. I mean, you take a look. Look at what's happening to different countries that never had difficulty, never had problems. It's a very sad situation. It's very unfortunate. But I do not think it's good for Europe, and I don't think it's good for our country. We're, as you know, far superior to anything that's happened before. But we have very bad immigration laws. And we're doing incredibly well, considering the fact that we virtually don't have immigration laws. We have laws that are so bad. I don't even call them laws. I call them, it's just like you just walk across the border. You walk across the border, you would put one foot on the land, and now you're tied up in a lawsuit for 5 years. It's the craziest thing anyone's ever seen.
Yeah, it's a good point. It is one of the craziest things you've ever seen, because really what's happening here is we have created essentially a cottage industry. It's called the immigration business, and it's a billion, multi-billion dollar business. It's largely a human trafficking scam. Essentially, to protect the money streams that are often, and you should check into how many Jewish organizations are really behind this immigration scam. You're going to find that Jews have their fingerprints all over this thing, because it's in Jewish interest to flood Western nations. It's in Jewish interest to destroy the demographic makeup of the very nations that Jews really call the enemy of the Jewish people, which are Western nations. So, you know, with Trump out there talking about how immigration is such a bad thing on this issue, I tend to believe the guy. You know, I don't like a lot of his foreign policy, but on certain things, he has opened the window for a lot of us to start talking in a way to where we don't sound as if we are so far out there, because he's raised awareness on a much larger scale. Now, that doesn't mean Jewish power, Jewish media isn't going to try to shut this thing down and spin it again in a different way. But we must use the words that come from as many angles as possible to accentuate and elevate the message. Look, folks, unbridled massive immigration is a complete failure. Multiculturalism is a scam. All of these things are true. I mean, you cannot have a cohesive country when you have a bunch of Batustans, I think that's the word, working out there. You know, this community there, that community there, and then you have basically these foreign communities working against the original nation state to which they came. This is, to me, never going to happen. I'm not sure. I'm actually right about that, but hey, I look around and I see it's not working, folks. Europe is a disaster. Trump is right. They are changing the tone of Europe. They are destroying Europe. But of course, what Trump doesn't seem to grasp is that that's the plan. I mean, that is the plan. And he should be calling out. He should just say straight up, look, this is a plan by your European leaders to destroy your countries. Not talk about how, it's just bad immigration policy. It's not bad immigration policy to those who have installed the policy. To them, it's a fantastic immigration policy, because there is no rules. Just come into our countries. You don't need a visa. All you need to do is claim asylum, and we will provide you with the boats. We'll provide you with the money. We'll provide you with the channels, and you can come to our nations, and we don't care, because we want to destroy Western Europe. And that is the policy of the current elites running the European Union. And that has become pretty darn transparent as things move forward. But part of keeping the talk down, of course, is the way the media is framing the debate. The media wants to frame everything nowadays as you're a Nazi, you're a bigot, you're a racist, you're all kinds of things, just for worrying about your own economic / interests within your own nation. And this is something kind of elevated recently with Jack Tapper, from CNN, and he was discussing, quote unquote, the amount of white nationalists, basically European Americans, who are starting to rise up and run for power across the nation. We've seen I don't know the guy again. I don't have all the names. I know Paul Nellen. He's kind of become a name for me. You got Patrick Little. He's talking about some of these issues. You have other guys up in California, Pennsylvania, South Carolina, Ohio. All of these, you've got people running, in other words, on a nationalist platform, a populist platform that is far more towards the European-centric message. And that, of course, is not something that Jews want to see happen. And the ADL has been all over this, and that resulted in a piece on CNN just the other day. Here's something from Jack Tuck.
This week, the National Republican Congressional Committee pulled its support for the Republican House nominee in New Jersey who had shared bigoted views, claiming, for instance, that diversity leads to Muslims killing Christians. This comes on the heels of an Anti-Defamation League report stating, quote, members of the extremist right and their racist anti-Semitic views are experiencing more exposure today than at any time in recent history, unquote. The ADL noting that the former head of the American Nazi Party, who is the Republican nominee for an Illinois House seat, and many others. CNN's Tom Foreman now explains how mainstream Republicans have been trying to deal with all these flagrant bigots on the ballot, from California to North Carolina, from Illinois to Virginia.
Well, first of all, one of the issues you should take issue there is, how does this flaming bigot on CNN get away with calling everybody flaming bigots? So you have to understand, in today's political language, the issues aren't so much whether or not you're a bigot. It's whether you agree or you disagree with Jewish power in America. Do you have a populist idea that says you want to chase after your own political interests, or do you simply want to give in and allow any Jewish supremacist position to prevail upon the nation? That's really what this is starting to boil down to. The Jewish media, which is CNN, folks, the Jewish media is any media that goes out generally on open air. Now, that's not true of this show. We are open air in some markets. I can't tell you the markets, but I do know we are open air in some markets. That includes some small micro FM broadcasting outlets, from what I understand. Maybe it's not true, but I do understand that to be true. We are also open air, I believe, in North Mid-Atlantic, some of the Mid-Atlantic area. Folks, so we have a message. We're not huge like CNN. But can you imagine? CNN starts the whole thing about how mainstream Republicans, well, how is it that a guy can come in, he can take 30% of a vote. How is it that Jewish media says he's not mainstream? Oh, that you don't know he's a bigot. Well, first of all, we don't need you Jews in the media to tell us and define for everything. The second I hear the Jewish media talking about Jewish candidates being bigots, I'm going to say, okay, that's a little bit more like it. That's more fair. When I see Jewish media talking about Jewish supremacy on the open airways or the cable networks, I'm going to say, okay, we're starting to get a little bit more traction here. But I'm not hearing the Jewish media talking about Jewish bigotry. I'm not hearing the media talk about the very real and open Jewish racism against white Americans, European Americans. I'm not hearing about the very real Jewish supremacy that dominates the vast majority of Jewish politics. I'm not catching any of this from the Jewish media. But soon as somebody, one person, starts to make a little bit of a run in the political sphere, All we hear from the Jewish community is racist, bigot, anti-Semite. That whole piece from opening piece from Jack Tapper, that's about all he said. If you have your own political views, racist, bigot, anti-Semite. Well, that's all of us. So what the Jewish media is saying is that every single American out there that has a nationalist, populist message is a racist, bigot, anti-Semite. Okay, so fine. Let's include that in the definition. Jews think everybody that is counter to their will and their way is an anti-Semite. That's everybody. That makes Jews the minority again. See, they're a minority, folks, but they have a dominant position in our media. Therefore, they can unjustly or unduly influence public opinion from this field. We are in a constant battle of reaction, pushback, but reaction, pushback, reaction. Here I'm reacting. Now I can push back equally, but still, and we are pushing back again. But this is just a case again where Jewish media continues to be very offensive, meaning it is attacking Americans. It's insulting, meaning that it belittles a lot of us who aren't necessarily anything that they want to describe, but they will still apply this negative terminology that they've crafted to us equally. To this day, folks, I can't tell you how much the past 3 weeks I've been hit with this, all of this, these racist charges. I mean, my goodness, if I were to breed a culture of idiots, I would call it Jew. Seriously, I would. I don't care what people have to say anymore, because this type of stupidity from the media just tells me this is a stupid people. And it's even dumber for the American people to buy into it. It's even dumber that we've allowed our politicians and our organizations and our institutions to hand this much power to a society. There, I said it. To a society of idiots. Folks, I'm not impressed with Jewish intelligence, folks. This type of language I just saw here, that's the hallmark of a blethering, blabbering idiot. This is just dumb. I'm like, dude, do you really get off? Is it like a requisite to be stupid to be on national TV in America nowadays? It's either you got to be Jewish or stupid, and if you're bold, hey, that's a great combination. Folks, it's just dumb what I'm seeing out there, time in and time out. But it doesn't stop there, of course. They've got a lot of things that they're talking about, and one of this would be here.
They are all Republicans, all have made it onto the ballot this fall, and for groups like the Anti-Defamation League, such successes belie a deeply worrisome movement toward extremism.
Even if those candidates are not going to win, the fact that they get any level of support, whether it's 2% or 20% in these primaries, should raise concerns in the community.
Well, first of all, why should it raise concerns in our own communities? What raises concern in my community is the amount of influence Jewish people have to even talk like this on open air television or cable. That's a concern, folks. The fact that they can criticize Americans' right to seek after their own political views, that should be disconcerting to the community. The fact that the ADL, a known racist, anti-American, pro-Jewish nonprofit that is essentially an agent for the Israeli government that goes out and protects pedophiles who killed children, that's its founding basis, is able to have this much power to influence debate on a national television or cable network like CNN, that should be very disturbing to the American people. That should be disturbing to every single American. It should also be disturbing to people, well, I guess those of you theoretically in the intelligence services of America are American. I'm not exactly sure, but I'll assume so for now. So, folks, these are major issues now, because the more we start to gain traction, the more you start to see a positive influence within the political debate, the more we're going to see Jewish people rising up en masse to essentially slur everybody. Now, I am of the frame of mind. If you call someone a Nazi, that's a hate crime. We should arrest you. Bottom line, I don't care. We should put up the courts in place. Again, that should be a long-term goal. I'm not saying you can do it today. But in my opinion, if you call someone an anti-Semite, that should be a criminal offense. Again, if they want to criminalize anti-Semitism, then calling somebody an anti-Semitism itself should be a criminal offense against the American people. Think about that for a second. If you're going to try to use a term to criminalize us, then we ought to use that same term to criminalize you in return. Because first of all, who are you to tell us what we can and can't say as the American people? As American people, we really don't like to see this level of totalitarianism. I'm not into the Talmud, folks. I'm not into raping children. I'm not. I'm sorry. Those of you in the Jewish community, you know it's going on. You know dang well about the Jewish supremacy, and none of you are talking. So quite frankly, at my level, I'm deeply concerned about the Jewish community in America right now. I think they're anti-American. They are against basically common sense and civility in the world today. I'm deeply concerned. Do we have a right to be deeply concerned? Jews will say, no, you don't have a right to be deeply concerned because that's anti-Semitic. See, that's how they get, that's how they want to keep playing this game. And quite frankly, it's something that you just cannot continue to accept, because if you do, you're going to lose this battle in the long run.
Champions of neo-Nazism, anti-Semitism, and simply those who openly stoke racial animus and white anxiety are unapologetically showing up more.
Now, first of all, he talks about white anxiety. Have you ever heard that term, white anxiety? Well, I think there was something came out just yesterday in the Huffington Post calling for the literally, the Huffington Post yesterday called for the destruction of Western European demographics, the implosion, literally. They called for it yesterday. Now, if I'm sitting there and I'm Western European, and I'm kind of Western European, I like to think of myself as that, and I see a hostile elite trying to literally destroy the entire framework of our civilization, and then you're going to sit there and call me, oh, I just have anxiety. Well, I'll tell you what, in the frickin' Jewish community, the next time you want to talk about never again, hey, don't talk to us about Jewish anxiety here, because we don't care anymore. Because really, I'm tired of this whole anti-Western agenda that we have seen unfold in the West over the last 70, 80 years, 90 years. It's all really Jewish anxiety. They are afraid of never again. It's Jewish anxiety, everybody. We're talking about massive Jewish power imposing itself on the entire West, and all because of Jewish anxiety. I don't need these clowns on national TV to talk about white anxiety, because they know the agenda going against you. So guess what? They're just calling out a literal reaction you're going to have once you come and become aware of the agenda. And you know what? For every day they keep you in the dark, that's one more day they're closer to achieving their objective. It's really kind of that simple.
Often, and it's not so clear things that they say are things that everyone thinks are so bad. Even in that recent poll showing half of America thinks the president is racist, Republicans overwhelmingly said, no, he's not. Jake?
Tom Foreman, thanks so much.
See, that's the point we all have to remember here, everybody, is within the Republican base of America, this is where you essentially find the populist elements of America. This is where you will find, essentially, if you want it for better or worse, I don't care if you're uncomfortable with it, but it's the white European American demographic base. Now, we are still theoretically 63%, 90% in some areas of America, and Jewish power and domination has essentially destroyed places like California. You know, you go to California nowadays, and you're talking about going into San Francisco. One of the major, I believe, hotelier, or maybe it was a pharmaceutical company, dropped a $40 million convention business affair inside, you know, the total value of the package, hotels, foods, everything, was $40 million. They dropped San Francisco because of the literal trash that San Francisco has become. Back with more, everybody. It's the Fetch inside the Live Intelligent Media for the Politically Aware. Back with more right after this. All right, everybody. Welcome back. It's the Fetch. Ouch. Inside the Eye, Live Intelligent Media for the Politically Aware, with a massive scratch on my hand. Ouch, man. That's, excuse my language. That sucks. Anyways, it's a Fetch, everybody. Inside the Eye, Live Intelligent Media for the Politically Aware, right here on Revolution Radio at revolution.radio. You know, Bruiser was just here, and I tried to get him to come up. Ouch. Come up to say hello on the camera, and he freaking panicked on me and scratched me kind of good. Actually, he didn't scratch me good, but it's like a little tiny scratch, and it's painful. So we tried to get Bruiser on the camera for everybody. If you're watching the live stream on YouTube, again, you can go to youtube.com/C/ Inside the Eye Live, I believe, is the actual stream. We had the stream drop. Not sure why that happened. It did drop, though. At the first hour, we restarted it right away. So it's going fine. So catch us on the live stream again. The chat room is just humming, everybody, in the chat room. Again, good to see everybody there. InsideTheEyeLive.com. That's InsideTheEyeLive.com. Click on the live chat button. That will get you in the door. Man, that finger's kind of hurting, man. Bruiser's in trouble after this show, man. I tried to get him on for you guys. I tried, but he just panicked. Not sure why he did that, but he panicked. So anyways, ouch. Nonetheless, that's the way it goes sometimes. I'll tell you. First of all, good morning, everybody. All of you listening in the United States and Canada. It's great to be here with you today again. It's just kind of a nice, lazy summer day here. I was kind of up late last night, and I got up late today. And we're going to be, I guess, kind of late today also, going into tomorrow, getting ready for the World Cup tomorrow. I'm looking forward to really getting out, enjoying the fresh summer evening, just getting really some fresh air and enjoying the night. It is my vacation, so I don't go out all the time, but from time to time I do like to get out there and enjoy myself a little bit. And so I'm definitely looking forward to doing that. Let's see. You know, the Syrian army. You know, the big news here in the Middle East remains the Syrian army, of course, and its roll-up of American terrorist groups down in the south. Apparently, the Americans took issue with that. There was an airstrike on a position, a military position of the Syrian army up in what's known as Deir ez-Zor, which is one of the key routes coming into Syria. It looks like the Syrian military lost upwards, they say, of as many as 40 soldiers were killed by American airstrikes. At least that's what it appears. Americans aren't admitting so much yet, but it looks like the American government is providing, once again, air cover, as are the Israelis. The Jewish government is also providing a lot of air cover for terrorists. So we would hope, quite frankly, that America, with the Putin-Trump meeting coming up this coming week, that the two sides can find a way to get the American military out so that the Syrian people can clean up the rest of these largely Jewish terrorists that are operating there. We all know America acts as the bully for the Jewish government. Of course, America is a Jewish government. And so we would just, as American nationalists, we would like to see American soldiers back home. There's plenty to do along the southern border, quite frankly. And I saw an interesting article sometime, I think last night, about, you know, the IRS in America is being given the authority to essentially crack down on people. And basically the IRS can decide whether or not you can travel as an American citizen. That authority, of course, is not 100% due to that, because the U.S. State Department must actually grant that authority. And we would hope that the U.S. State Department would tell the IRS, quite frankly, go screw yourselves. You know, the IRS is not even a legal entity in America. Obviously, it takes a lot of money and power and strength to win your case against this criminal organization. But, you know, in an era where we've seen American political institutions use their power to punish for political reasons, the last thing our elected officials should be doing is granting to our political institutions the ability to harm American interests. And one of the greatest, of course, rights we have is the right to travel. And so Jews want to take that away, and we'll see if they can actually get that done. I know they're trying very hard to do so. But essentially, you know, the eastern part, you know, if you're familiar with the war here in southern Syria, there was basically two sides to Daraa. One is called the Daraa proper part. That now has been 100% rolled up. And now the Syrian army is starting to chip away at the Jewish-controlled buffer zone known as Quneitra. It's about a 40-kilometer zone coming in off of the Golan Heights. The occupied Golan Heights. So this is creating, again, some refugee crisis problems on the border. For their part, the Jordanians say, look, our borders are full, Syria, plenty of room in Syria that you can go to. You do not need to be coming to Jordan. Why don't you find some other safe area under government control to go to? Stop coming to our border. We don't want any part of trying to figure out exactly what is going on and bring you refugees back into our country. So they've got a lot of new territories being captured. We have had tweets coming out pretty much all day today from the Israelis, the Israeli government, the ministries, the IDF. What they're doing, they're talking about how, oh, all of us Jews were living under this terrible reign of terror, and oh, there's all these alerts all day. This is what our cell phones look like. And I'm like, you know, you Jewish people are the whiniest, dumbest people I've ever met. You're going online just to complain about your cell phone operator putting alerts all the time. Okay, well, then talk to your cell phone operator to stop being so stupid. Don't complain to us about how we're supposed to justify another slaughter by you Jews against people that you don't like, that's in an open-air prison. I mean, at the end of the day, look, we should be telling the Jewish state and Jewish Americans, tell the Israelis, tell these idiots to solve their problems, retreat back to 1968 borders, allow a 100% unconditional unilateral right of return by the Palestinian people. It's allowed them, by the way, under international law. So you're not asking for anything. And then watch how fast Jews will slake away like some slug back under a rock because they don't want to deal with you. You're not dealing. When you talk about the Israeli-Palestinian conflict, you're not talking about a conflict here that's rooted in two sides that can come to some conclusion that will stop it. So it's really going to be incumbent upon the Americans eventually to tell the Israelis to go fly. I mean, literally, just take a leap. You know, literally, why don't you just pretend you're a jumper like 1,500 Americans or whatever, 3,000 or however many jumped. I don't know how many jumped from the World Trade Center. I've heard conflicting reports, but we need to tell Jews, you need to become one of those jumpers, man, because we're tired of supporting you. And that's the whole thing about this business called Israel and this idea called securing the realm and all this other crap, theoretical, hypothetical crap that comes from the Jewish mentality out there. Folks, these guys, it's a colony that benefits nobody. It doesn't benefit the American people. It doesn't benefit the British. It's not benefiting Germany. It's only taking from us. And as a businessman, as a business case, when you have something that is as bad as this, that continues to lose money for you, well, there's absolutely no point, quite frankly, there's no point in us continuing to throw money into what is essentially a bad deal. Americans, they can't even afford college. I mean, come on. You have American kids out there. They will take a loan out, and let's say they take out a, I saw the sign the other day, $22,000 loan for higher education. After 27 years, they've paid back $35,000, and they still owe something like $38,000. How is it then that we can send billions upon billions of dollars to Israel just to allow them a free education on America's taxpayers? Think about it. Everything about the Jewish state is a sickening expression of parasitism. These people are just, I mean, my goodness, folks. The one of the key problems we have in America is our Jewish elite. And the key problem with our Jewish elite is 100% of their efforts is what's good for Israel. What is it? Does it benefit Jews in general? And if it benefits Jews plus Israel, it's even better. But it's first best that it supports Israel. I'm not sure we can survive as a nation if we continue along this path. And a lot of people are starting to wake up to this. You know, I'm seeing a lot of ideas now that Britain has to get closer to the EU. And, of course, after Brexit, you know, Brexit was supported by 17 million British citizens. I mean, think about that, folks. 17 million Brits voted, most of those nationalists, at least quasi-nationalists, that they voted to leave the EU to regain their sovereignty. One of the key points to this issue was, what do you call that, immigration. Of course, fishing is another key point. A lot of people don't know, but the British people, an island nation, are not even really allowed to even fish their own territory. As hard as that may believe, or as hard as that may sound, that's pretty much a true statement. The British cannot even farm their own fields. The British have been left to basically be servants of the European Union. And when you look at what's going on this week with Trump visiting and all this LGBT crap that paraded these 10,000 strong or so, largely LGBT themed, degenerate, disgusting scumbags out there. Literally, these are just garbage humans at the end of the day, from a moralistic point of view. I'm not sure I can say that, but that's my opinion of it all. Can you imagine going to war in 1942 saying, you got to go fight the Germans because this today was the end game? I mean, think about that for a second. The end game of Europe that was fought in 1942 is just coming into fruition today. So all this lesbian, gay, transgender, pedophiles roaming the countryside, that was the end game. Creating an environment where you could import close to 10 million African American men so that they can breed out, literally breed out. Think about that, folks. 10 million African men brought into Europe. If you think that's for just no purpose whatsoever, that's a lot of money being spent for a particular reason, and it ain't because they need labor. These people don't work. The main purpose to bring in those 10 million people was to breed out European people, literally breed them out. This, to me, is so sinister. Now, again, you can say it's wrong when the Americans or the British did it here and the British did it there. All right, fine. It's wrong. Now it's wrong today, too. And those responsible are traitors to the Germans, traitors to the French, traitors to the Italians, the Spanish, etc. And they should be dealt with on a national level as being traitors. And the second you hear some Jew whine, you're being an anti-Semite, you start to take out all Jewish organizations because they are now aiding and abetting terrorists, or not terrorists, but treasonous activity within the nation. Just some ideas, folks. Just a little food for thought here. It's not on the table today. It may not be on the table tomorrow. But you know what? Talking as we are doing today, having a president get up there and say, hey, it may not be politically correct, but you know what? Immigration has just destroyed Europe. That wasn't on the table. Having the ADL having to talk about neo-Nazis every other day because people are starting to become politically active wasn't on the table. Nothing gets on the table till it starts to be put into motion, folks. You got to get out there and you have to work and you have to work hard. And remember, you are underfunded, undermanned. There are no Jews working out there, essentially. They're basically working as nonprofits or they work in the nonprofit industry. They're killing you inside of the hospitals and inside of the doctor's offices. Don't even begin. I'm not even a vaccine guy, but man, the amount of vaccine damage being done to American kids is an absolute genocide. Seriously, you're killing the children of America. You're killing the hopes of America. What else? You've got what else? What else? What else? Real quickly, what was that other point I wanted to raise? I forgot. My brain got sidetracked there. It was just kind of ranting away. All right. That'll work. Calls coming in from the 573 area code. Hello. Welcome to Inside the Eye Live.
Good morning, Dennis. This is Arda.
Okay. You might want to get close to your mic and turn off any background radio.
Oh, okay. Is that better?
Much better. Thank you so much. Hi. Welcome to Inside the Eye Live.
This is Art Underground in the chat room. You were talking about, you made the statement that, let me scroll back here, see if I can find it, that 10 million African men were brought into Europe to breed out European people.
Yeah.
Which actually, I think that number is pretty accurate. But if we look here at the United States, you know, we keep hearing about white males. We are the majority, black, Hispanics, all that, minorities. We outnumber. I understand my language correctly, and I think I do. Minority means that there are more of them than there are of you. Realistically.
You know, there actually may. They may, yeah, I mean, in certain areas, they really do have the demographics for sure. Absolutely.
Right. So let's look at the numbers, because if this is only 8%, and us,
you know, you're freaking.
Only one third of the white. It's only about 2.57% of the white population are male. So how in the hell, 40?
Well, you know, you're breaking up so much I can hardly follow your point. That's unfortunate, because I just can't follow the point because you're breaking up so much.
Let me try again.
Yeah, hopefully you won't break up, and then we can try to follow along exactly what your point is.
Yeah, I got an idea. Step out on the back porch, on the front porch, where I get a better signal. That should do much better right there. All right. They say that white people are the majority, and blacks, Hispanics, all that is the minorities. Well, if I understand language correctly, minority means you are severely outnumbered. If there are two of you and 20 of them, you are in the minority. That's how it works. Well, let's look at the numbers, because the numbers don't lie. If whites make up only 8% of the population, and only one third of them are male, then that means roughly about 2.57% of the population are white males. So how in the hell are whites, let alone white males, the majority population? Where are we getting this twisted up? How did we become a society that is so ignorant of these facts that we still think whites are the majority?
Well, I'm not sure I follow where that stat would come from. I just don't see where you get those numbers from. I mean, there's no way I can imagine America's only 2.5%, 3% white males in America. But I guess in certain areas this may be true, but I can't imagine entirely.
Well, maybe not across the entire population. But if you look at sort of like here where I live, all right, I'm in basically kind of central Georgia. You walk down the street, and this sounds like pretty crappy to say it this way, but you almost feel like a marshmallow in a bowl of hot chocolate, because you look around and you see almost no white people at all. Well, if I'm in the majority, how is that possible? How is it possible that whites are the majority? Whites are not the majority in this country. I think whites in this country alone, just in the United States, if you look overall, I think whites only make up about 30% of the population, if that much.
Well, then I can relate, put it that way, because I've been in Los Angeles. I lived in Los Angeles. And I'll be honest, there were days where I was the only white guy I ever saw. Seriously, yeah. I've been in L.A. where basically maybe I would see one, two, maybe three white guys in the entire day. And of course, I'm talking about a major part of the city where you could go around and you just didn't see anybody that was white. I mean, the Honduran, Mexico, black, but no white American. Yeah, I hear you, man.
Well, I traveled all over this country for 33 plus years. I'm 55, and I spent 33 plus years of my life traveling. And I've been all over this country from coast to coast, from border to border. And I'm here to tell you, virtually everywhere I go, it's the same way. I see three and four and sometimes five times as many blacks. And I've even seen it where, I mean, you got 100 blacks and you got one white. And they see this all over the country. So I'm trying to figure out if after 33 plus years of traveling the country, and I see this same thing every damn where I go, how in the hell are we the majority? We are the minority.
You know, that would be a highly successful manipulation of demographic data if your statement actually were to bear provable, you know what I mean? If we can just use our normal common sense and bear it out and show it, that would be a huge successful manipulation of demographic data.
Well, you know, I have to go based on what I see with my own two eyes. And after 33 years traveling the country, this is what I've seen. So what I've seen with my own two eyes tell me whites are not the majority. Blacks are, because I see it everywhere I go. So I am not convinced that we're the majority. I don't know how in the hell people come up with this crazy idea that whites are the majority. And, you know, there are people talking about the white nationalist movement. It's about damn time.
Well, very good. I appreciate the call. We've got another caller online, and then we got to go into a break. Call in again. Feel free to call in again. Thanks for the call. All right. 808 Free and Awake. Welcome to Inside the Eye Live.
Make America Great Again. Greetings, Fetch.
How are you, man?
Oh, doing pretty well. And Trump is calling for Europe to pay their fair share of the $1.3 trillion NATO budget.
Is it trillion or billion?
Trillion, yeah.
I thought it was $1.3 trillion. That's ridiculous.
Yeah, we're paying the lion's share.
We're already spending 800 and some odd ourselves, and then you want to spend $1.3 trillion, and that's insane.
And they want to position Russia as the enemy of the world, but yet Germany has made agreements to receive oil or gas and oil from Russia, the so-called enemy, right? We know it's a false assumption, but we'll just...
Well, again, and the Russians are not the Soviets, so... On old art stereotypes where the Soviets are really Jews. So, okay, the Jews were the enemy of the people, and now they're trying to make the Russians into being the old Jews. And for I don't know, I watch Putin a lot. I kind of follow what's going on. And sometimes he does some great things, kind of like Trump, and sometimes he just baffles my brain. Why are you behaving this way?
Yeah, so enigmatic, yeah. Who can predict some of these leaders? But I think it's high time, you know, that that was brought to the public's attention, because it was considered bad form to even mention that. You know, you were considered uncouth, you know, undiplomatic. That's just something that you just don't go there with. But they should pay their fair share, because look at it this way.
Well, to
you
me,
know, their economies can thrive. Because we're supporting their defense, the aspect of their obligation.
The reality got that covered. Europe faces no real threat.
No, just, not at all.
Just like America, we don't face a real threat. The only threats can come from within, especially America. Nobody's going to be able to cross two oceans and invade America.
Right. So NATO should direct its focus internally now. But I'll let you go. I know you got a guest coming up. It's been good talking.
We do, in fact. Thanks so much for the call, everybody.
Aloha.
Back right after this. Welcome back. It's the Fetch Inside the Eye Live, intelligent media for the politically aware. We do have our guest Hannah standing by, but before that, we'd like to jump out to the 208 area code. Hi, welcome to Inside the Eye Live.
Hey, Fetch, this is Stan Hess. How you doing?
Stan, how are you doing, man? It's kind of like, how are things, man? I mean, we're talking about the World Cup, and every time I talk about the World Cup, I'm thinking of you.
Well,
because you've got your show, you know, removing the goalposts, and I'm thinking, you know, Stan hates this right now. He's hating this. It's okay. Yeah. At least you're on my mind.
I've got a lot of feedback here. I don't know what's going on. But anyway, I wanted to respond to what that guy was saying about what the percentage of European Americans are whites. I believe it's around 40%. Because when the census talks about whites, they're talking about everybody whose ancestors came from the country of India all the way to the Mediterranean as white. And a lot of times they refer to Mexicans or Central Americans or South Americans that have a lot of Indian blood who are somewhat white as being white too. So
really, so the mestizos are counted as white? It's weird.
Yeah, I mean, if you look at crime reports, you'll see somebody who is designated as white, who is very dark, who's from Central America or Mexico. I mean, we've really had a job imposed on us, a mind job. It's crazy. what Fetch was talking about with the United States is basically an extended project of Israel is true. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's really, really sad. It's really, really sad what's happened. And most people, they live in the past. They live with images. And so many of older Americans, I'm 73, a lot of the people that I know, they watch old movies. They associate only with people that they know, and they don't talk about anything positive. They're just talking about the good old days, or, you know, they're talking about their children or anything, but there is nothing to inspire us as European Americans, except for Trump, really. I mean, I'm talking about in the big picture. I mean, Fetch, you do a great job. And you do things because you believe in trying to get people to think. But too many people want to get stoned on TV and film.
Yeah, I know. And it's a challenge. But, you know, we need to at least keep efforts on a good core because, as you know, I call it the Amway approach. We don't have the ability to influence mass media, so it's going to be one-on-one. And it did put Trump in office at the end of the day. I mean, it did help. I don't think Trump would deny that.
I wanted to throw something out. I know you have a guest, and I'm not sure who your guest is, but I will be listening. But I wanted to, something shocked me last night. I saw this talkie interview that was on Hollywood Reporter with Harvey Weinstein. And he says, yes, I did offer women acting jobs in exchange for sex, but so did and still does everyone. And so then he rationalizes was by saying, and I thought this was really telling, talking about Jewish anxiety. I was born poor, ugly, Jewish, and to fight all my life to get somewhere. You got lots of girls, in other words, meaning Taki. No girl looked at me until I made it big in Hollywood. So anyway, that's it. But that's very telling. That's a very telling statement by Weinstein. But anyway, thanks, Taki.
Stan, don't be too hard on the World Cup now this week. It's a big thing, and we can use it for talking about multiculturalism because we do definitely have a situation where you have a French multicultural team and a Croatian Croatian national team, I should say. So actually, we can
homogenous.
Use it to talk about the multicultural war in Europe right now.
Yeah, that's true. I am pulling for Croatia, and also if there are any European Frenchmen on the French team, I don't know if there is.
Well, it's about 30. It's 40%, I think. It's mainly an African squad now.
Right. Okay. Well, you two have a good conversation. Thank you.
Thanks so much. All right. That's Stan, everybody. Removing the goalposts on the right stuff.biz. Joining us now from somewhere in the southwestern part of the United States, goes by the name of Hannah, and she is a millennial student. She's taken a huge interest in really European affairs and really what's happening with the war against women. In really not just Europe, but America also. And she comes highly recommended, by the way, Hannah. So thanks for reaching out again. It's been a while since we were trying to get you on the show. But Hannah, thanks and welcome to Inside the Eye Live.
Oh, thank you so much. It's kind of funny because I remember, we've been trying to get on for a while and never worked out. So I'm glad to finally be here.
Yeah, it's difficult to get on the show, Hannah. We keep rolling along, and it's a three-hour show. We do a lot of solo stuff because people like the solo stuff, so we don't reach out all the time to guests. But we always like to have good quality guests. Now, first of all, Hannah, a little bit about yourself so myself knows can relate to you. I understand you are a millennial.
Yeah.
Okay, what? Just describe for those. Because we have an older, we're basically an older show here. Millennials, describe to us, I guess, what that means to you so we can relate to it.
So I guess it's people born in like the late 80s to the 90s.
Okay.
So I'm a 90s baby.
So you're like with my son and probably a lot of our children here. Children who are your age probably. And that's a good thing. Like I say, we still need to fight for the youth, and that includes people like you. So basically, you're a millennial. Are you going to college now?
Yeah, I'm going to college now.
And I understand your heritage is towards the German side of things.
Yeah. Okay. My family's all German.
Now, are you first generation American?
Yeah, pretty much. It's kind of a cool story. So, you know, my parents were kind of stuck in the East, but then the wall came down. My father, he'd had an uncle who'd, you know, he'd been taken here as a POW. He'd been here all these years, and he reached out to my parents again. And so he was like, hey, you know, come over. You know, I've got business
set up. So are you saying that your uncle was like a POW of the American military?
Yeah, they took him as a POW here. So,
and he stay here?
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
There's a lot of POWs who stayed, believe it or not.
Well, that's an interesting story in and of itself. That's a bit of history I didn't even know about.
Yeah.
So you basically, obviously, you're a young female, childbearing age, say. Have you started a family? Have you considered
No, I don't have any kids yet, but I want to have kids, obviously.
Great, obviously. And so what really turned you on or into this ongoing multicultural war against Europe? How did you become aware of this?
It was just going there, visiting there, and seeing, what do they call it, the demographic shift. Like, Germany's awful. I mean, it's full of Turks, full of them. I mean, there's neighborhoods where it's like there's no German people. It's all Turkish, and you feel like you're in Turkey. And there's a bunch of Africans. There's a bunch of all kinds of non-whites. And, of course, you know, now with the recent huge invasion, I mean, I know they've taken in way more since then. But in 2015 alone, did you know, Dennis, that Merkel let in over 2 million of these invaders. Let's not call them refugees. Let's call them invaders.
Yeah, well, that's fair. They're not. They are invaders. This is an invasion force.
Yeah.
And you're up to speed on the Kalergi plan and things like this, correct?
Oh, yeah. But, you know, the thing I wanted to talk about is I've noticed something really, really disturbing in this movement is I've seen it kind of get, I feel, almost co-opted by the so-called pro-life movement. And we cannot tolerate that because if you demand that, you know, women not get abortions under any circumstances, then you will, you know, you will genocide our race because, okay, this is the issue I wanted to talk about. And it's probably going to make a lot of you uncomfortable, but, I mean, it needs to be said.
Well, I mean, we talked about earlier today. Yeah. Hannah, you know, you're looking at a situation where Germany imports 2 million. We know about the Kalergi plan. Italy, 700,000. France.
They're everywhere, all over Western Europe.
5 million, 6 million men only brought in. And folks, you don't bring in 6 million men and not expect them to have the, in other words, they're there to breed out what's left. That's the whole
And, you know, and I've seen it said many, many, many times. There's a YouTube video. I don't know if you've seen it. He was some sort of, I don't even know where he was from, but he was some sort of Arab. And he was basically encouraging the men to go over to Europe and breed us out. Literally, there was a French doctor who basically said, you know, who encouraged non-whites to rape white women. So, you know, and thereby destroy our race.
Well, and, I think you've got Sarkozy going on. Openly that says if we can't get this mixed race thing going, we need to coerce it even more.
Definitely. And one of the ways, you know, they destroy our race is through rape. And, you know, it's kind of weird that we have to define different types of rape, but I'm not talking about the rape between individuals, like some guy, you know, takes advantage of a drunk girl. This is not what this is. You know, this is a concerted effort to like I said, destroy a race.
Well, honey, we're familiar with World War II history. Aren't we kind of going from the female perspective? We almost have like another rape epidemic.
Similar
to what happened after World War II.
Oh, yeah, with the Red Army. Yeah.
Where German women were basically open game for everybody.
Yeah, yeah.
Have we gotten to that stage with your relations with now? Are we at the stage now where it's starting to feel like certain pockets of Germany are open game and it's very scary for women to walk around Germany?
Oh, yeah, but this is the thing. It's not just Germany. You know, it's really bad in Sweden. It's really bad in England. It's like, I mean, it's worse because it's all over now, all over Western Europe. And I don't think America is like that at all, but Western Europe definitely is. And, I want to make it very clear the reason why these men are doing the raping is they are doing it with the specific intent to impregnate these women. That's why this is happening. And
going back, first of all, from a statistical point of view, do you have any numbers? Obviously, it's not going to be so much government generated, but you've got some of these women's groups that are now starting to form in Europe, Germany especially. Do you have any numbers at all that you can share with the audience as to just how large this rape crisis now is in Europe?
It's been really hard to find any statistics because, as you said, the governments, you know, hide them. I just know that in Sweden, and this is completely anecdotal, but just talking to Swedish women, a good number of them, even if they haven't been raped, they've at least experienced some form of sexual harassment from these invaders. It's the same everywhere. I mean, Germany's pretty bad. You can't talk to anybody who's had, you know, really positive experience with these people who are flooding in now.
What are women doing then, to your knowledge, in Germany and I guess in Europe at large? What are they doing now to try to educate men and put a stop to this type of behavior? Are they asking for militancy on the part of the men?
I hear that
sometimes the women are part of the problem. They just don't even let their men support them.
Unfortunately, there's a lot of women who are just so brainwashed that they won't do anything to stop it. They'll just go along with it. Again, I don't have the statistics, so I can't tell you what percentage is like what, but I know the only thing I've seen happen recently is a lot of women have bought whistles and, you know, I mean, pepper spray is illegal, but people still try and get it.
Yeah. Any talk of arming themselves?
it depends on the country where you're at. You know, it's, from what I understand, it's a lot easier to get arms in Eastern Europe than it is in Western Europe.
And, of course, Eastern Europe doesn't have the same problems that Western Europe has, so.
Nobody. I'll tell you why that is. These invaders don't want to flood into Eastern Europe because they know that they're not going to get all kinds of free goodies.
Yeah, of course, like the immigration, not the immigration, the welfare issues.
Yeah, exactly. They're not, trust me, they're not getting any welfare in Poland, in Czech, definitely not in Russia. Think Putin's going to take care of all these people?
Yeah, no, of course not. And that's how it should be across the West.
Yeah.
The point now is, as the millennial, the generation, obviously you're savvy with the computers, you're savvy with technology. What type of organizations, what type of organizing do you see happening now, really, to try to gain awareness? Because, okay, we know it's a problem here on this show. It's kind of like going to the choir. We get it. 6 million men. The whole purpose is to breed out the race as quickly as possible.
Exactly.
That
exactly.
No question about that.
Yeah, now, absolutely.
But as women now, who obviously are not too keen on this, how is, again, you're saying, though, that a lot of women are still the problem, though. So how from your point of view, because that's part of what we do on this show is try to raise different angles of awareness. How do we start to shift perspective then within the younger female generation to start to wake up to what's going on? We can keep talking about it, but how do we start to shift the dynamics?
I have seen one good thing. There's this new hashtag called 120 decibels, and they released a YouTube video, and it's all these young, German women, and they all spoke out against, you know, what's happening. And I thought they did a pretty good job.
Yeah, the 120 decibels, that is a group I have heard of. It's one of the few groups, quite frankly, getting traction. What about links to the AfD, the German party, any of these nationalist groups? Salvini in Italy has been very, very successful now in stopping the entire invasion to Italy.
Oh, I know. Yeah, and unfortunately with, AfD, it's they're very, very, how do I put this? They're very mild. I mean, they're against mass immigration, but they're more, I guess, what you call civic nationalists. But I mean, I guess you can't have anything more in self-hating cuckland than that.
Exactly, in your opinion, since we're more of a patriot, West American patriot type of.
Yeah.
What exactly is civic nationalism for you?
Basically people who are like, yeah, we like our country, blah, 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 but we're not racist. Hey, as long as you can assimilate in, it's all good. That's what I take from civic nationalism.
Okay. Is it possible in Europe, you think, to have a civic nationalist type of movement?
Yeah, but the problem with that is that it doesn't care about race. Like, the only thing they care about is that, everybody assimilates, but assimilation is the last thing that we want.
In Europe?
Yeah.
Because, it's going to be impossible to turn back America. It's just not going to work.
Yeah. And so I don't really want civic nationalism. I want real nationalism, that puts our race first and foremost. But it's really difficult. And, like I said, I mean, there is one silver lining to these mass rapes. I mean, if it can make people hate the invaders, then that's a good thing. But see, the thing that really, the thing that concerns me the most with these mass rapes is I'm very, very concerned about women giving birth to the rape spawn. That's what concerns me.
Yeah, this is actually one of the reasons we're here on the show, folks. Hannah has a very controversial solution to the issues going on with this planned invasion. And Hannah, just to support you a little bit here without trying to get too radical sound. Yeah. We're a family show at the end of the day, is that we all admit at this stage, at least most of us should start to become aware of the fact that the mass migration of 3, 4, 5 million men, mainly sub-Saharan African, some, of course, from the Middle East, but mostly sub-Saharan African. This is being done specifically to breed out Europeans. That's the point. There's no women because they want the men to be mating with the females. Then you're doubling up, as you know, Hannah, with all of this school textbooks, how to mate with black men and things of this nature, how to make love to black men, all the way down into 10 years old textbooks, even in Finland, which had nothing to do with any colonialism, as you know, Hannah, even in Finland, it's across the entire spectrum that this thing is going. And Hannah, straight up, you're saying, okay, since that's the strategy and rape is one of the weapons, straight up, what's your solution?
Abortion. It shouldn't be an option. It should be mandatory. If a European woman is raped by a non-white man, then she should not have a choice. Abortion.
And I don't know if you're familiar, Hannah, but the Chinese do that already.
Yeah, I know.
You do know.
Yeah, I do. And now, we need to have a similar system in place. If the Chinese can do it, why not us?
Which is controversial, but if the plan is to basically breed out an entire country, a culture, it's almost as if it's hard to argue with you, Hannah. You have a point, and as future of the race, I think you have to have your say in what happens, and that is.
Desperate times call for desperate measures. I know what I'm saying is controversial. I know what I'm saying is really ugly, but I mean, there really is no other option at this point. If you don't do it, then we will be drowned in a tsunami of non-white spawn. And do you want that? Everybody listening to the show, do you want that?
Yeah, especially if it's been forced upon the nation. That's the whole point. Being forced upon the nation. It's not as if, like me, Hannah, my child is half Chinese, but it's not forced on the nation. This is done naturally through natural cause. But this is not natural here. This is forced.
No, exactly. That's my point. Look, I understand that there's always going to be people who, they meet and they fall in love with, different kinds of people, and that's their business. But that's not what's happening here. Like you said, it's forced. And I also want to bring in another point. Since we were talking about World War II in Germany. Okay, do you know that there is now, thanks to the actions of the American...
Hold on. Here, Hannah. Back. Inside the island. Intelligent media. Back. What to do with this mess, like immigration, invasion. Right after. Welcome back. It's The Fetch, Inside the Eye, live intelligent media for the politically aware right here on Bastille Day for all you French guys out there and gals. Happy Bastille Day for what's left of your nation, unfortunately. I have got a very little clout, but very little appreciation for French things nowadays with the way I've seen France turn. Hannah is joining us from somewhere in the southwestern part of the United States. She's a millennial student. Her main concern is really, as a first-generation American born to German parents, the plight of what's happening in Europe and the way that there is a planned breeding out of basically Europeans through the massive importation of black, basically sub-Saharan Africans.
Oh, yeah.
That's a very controversial idea, as basically following what they do in China, which is to forcibly abort these children. Hannah, before we get to that, we want to go to the 704 area code. Hi, welcome to Inside the Eye Live.
Hey, Fetch. And hello, Hannah. Hey, it's always so refreshing to hear you go on your rants, because you just you're real. You know, you just keep it real, as they say. And here's another example. Hannah is so refreshing. It's just so refreshing to not hear a bunch of gobbledygook, idealism and Kumbaya and all that, which I used to be into all that. I was an idealist most of my life, and a colorblind conservative and all that. But, it's just so refreshing to hear her, and I hope that you will have her on as a regular part of the show. That would be great.
Well, all right. Thanks, Frank.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, Hannah, we have a what we consider probably one of the smartest alternative, it's not alternative right, but we're a show that deals with really pragmatism across the world. We've got a lot of great people that listen to the show. Frank's one of those. Hannah, real quickly, we talked about the Chinese, and obviously you're aware of the fact that they do cause or force mixed race abortions in some cases. They actually do that.
Yep.
At what stage did you start to dwell on really this? I mean, try to relate to the audience how you start to come to your conclusions, the logic flow. What brings you to the point that to where you're saying, hey, if it's a rape and it's with some of these sub-Saharans, abort the children. No questions asked by law. How do you develop your logic to this? I mean, try to relate to the audience to share how you get to this stage.
It's kind of a long story, but I mean,
Well, you got half an hour.
Yeah. Okay, cool. So, you know, okay, as a young teenager, obviously, you know, you learn about sex and whatnot. And invariably, of course, you learn about rape. And even as a young teenager, to me, the thought of having something walking around from a man that I hated that much, who did that to me, made me so disgusted that I knew instinctively that I would just want to kill it myself. Like, it just, I mean, the thought of rape spawned really on a deep, deep level, just, I mean, it just rises up all these feelings of hate in me.
Okay.
And I mean, maybe my family history has something to do with it too, because my grandmother was, you know, a victim of the Red Army. And maybe, I don't know, maybe that has something to do with it too.
Okay. So you have a family history. You're basically in a way you're talking about being a product of this rape culture.
Yeah. I mean, okay. To be clear, you know, my grandmother did not give birth to anything from these Russians, but yeah. She was only 11 at the time. She couldn't get pregnant, but it's still, you know, the thought of that really, truly disturbed me, like on a deep, deep level.
So essentially for you, it's a coming of the circle. You heard the stories from your grandmother, what it was like to have to go through that experience. And then now all of a sudden turn full circle two generations later and you see the exact same thing being set up in Germany once again.
Yeah. But it's even worse this time. It's a million times worse because, look, at the end of the day, yeah, it was bad. But at the end of the day, Russians are white. You know, so it's not really destroying our race. These sub-Saharan Africans are nothing like us. I mean, if you breed with a sub-Saharan African, all your features, they're gone.
Okay.
So, I mean, that's even worse.
So when Donald Trump, I mean, he hasn't come out and openly supported you on this, but certainly someone like a Donald Trump, you're saying, yeah, he's talking my language. He's really saying you're destroying culture, you're destroying heritage.
Yeah.
So you find that essentially within a Donald Trump, you have someone that's actually supporting your views and doing it in a way that perhaps is a little bit more politically palatable.
Yeah.
Are you working with anybody at all then, to as we do here? I guess to continue to get this message out in a way. In other words, to me, Hannah, your message is very clear. It's very concise. It has its practical elements to it. Do you feel? I mean, I'm just strategizing with you here to help you get your message. We support the idea. In other words, I think you've got some valid points here. If we are faced with an enemy that's seeking to breed out the entire race, then the race may have to just say, no, you're not going to do it. We have to get rid of this, as you call it, spawn. That's great. All good. Do you have like two different messages? One you take to a public world that you kind of nuance it? Or is this basically how you just deliver the message straight up? You may not like to hear it, but this is what I got to say.
You make an excellent point because, I mean, this is – okay, I'm just speaking my mind right now, but I understand that I can't really speak as openly to the public as I am to you.
Correct. Well, you're going out to tens of thousands of people, and it's not like you're not reaching anybody now.
Yes.
But, yeah, that's why we say we want to keep it conversational for a reason here. But yeah, I mean, you just can't go into like a public forum, like a university and talk like this. You're going to have multiple nuanced messages. Have you been working with people to start to craft these messages where you take your message out to the public? You can go into forums like this. You can go ahead and speak about it. It's uncomfortable. But I think people, Hannah, as you say, they have to be aware. 6 or 5 million African men being brought into Europe. Guys and gals out there, just be smart. It's to breed out the Europeans. That's the whole point to this, is to create a huge generation that breeds out. Imagine 1.5 child per person. You're talking now 7 million people, literally, that have been forced upon the European people. And Trump is telling you this is not good for Europe. It's going to destroy what was beautiful. And that's really what you're saying is in a, the only way to preserve the ethnic makeup of European heritage is to just take drastic measures. I think you've used that term.
Yeah, absolutely. And no, I mean, I haven't talked to anybody about how to make it more palatable. Basically, what I've just done is I've gone on these podcasts and I've just, you know, spoken my mind and, you know, hopefully somebody will listen to me and, you know, take my ideas to heart. And, you know, I just figured, yeah, maybe somebody else can do something about it. I don't have any power to do anything.
Okay. But you're still a voice. I mean, you know, your voice is every bit as important as the Jewish guy that says we must destroy Europe. I think, yeah, you know, it's each one man, one woman, one voice. So don't be quiet.
Yeah. That's really all I'm doing right now. But I think, you know, okay, maybe somebody out there in the ether can hear me and do something about it. That's, you know, that's kind of my hope right now. And I want all the men listening to understand something. It's not, okay, these mass rapes are not just a crime against the women. They are a crime against you personally. Because what these creatures doing this, they're basically telling you that, you know, we're taking your women now. And so their spawn, the existence of their spawn is an insult against you. I want men to understand that, you know, because they think that this is just a crime against the women. No, this is a crime primarily against the men. They're using the women to get to the men.
Yeah, in a way, I'll tell you what. Now, here's something that we'll just kind of digress a little bit off this. Yeah. I'm not going to argue your point here because I get it. I can agree with that.
Yeah.
But the issue I see happening in America and in Europe is there's a real, and just, you don't have to support me, just we want to get your opinion here.
Yeah.
We don't normally have people your age on the show, so it's kind of cool. There seems to me to be a huge disconnect between the men and the women of our society now. It's like, for some reason, the women can't talk to the men and vice versa. There's a lot of mistrust between you guys.
Yes.
We would love to see you guys get together, build families. We'd love to see all of that, but there's just so much distrust between both parties. How do you guys fix that? Because it's something you're going to have to fix. We can't fix it for you. You know what I mean? We can't do it.
It's like on, you know, on the one
we can
side.
Encourage you guys. Yeah. You can't fix it. You know?
I know.
And every time the women take the men to court, you got a huge problem. The men say, okay, never mind. I'll go find a Chinese gal.
I know. It's, you know, on the one side, you know, you've got the MGTOWs, and on the other side, you've got the feminists. And, you know,
for you guys, it wasn't so bad for us growing up because that. Agenda has come along so far, but it's like we raised it. In fact, Stan, the gentleman that was on the air with you to start, he mentioned it. We need to come up with ways to get you guys and gals to talk again, to start to trust each other again. This is the biggest thing. Yes. Yeah. Aborting the spawns, as you call it. Yeah, I get that. But that's not solve the big
I agree we need to get together and, you know, make the right kind of babies.
Do we need to cut the internet from you guys?
I think it may have to come to that, because a lot of this poison comes from the internet, and I've seen both MGTOWs and I've seen feminists online, and they're both retarded, because, you know, the MGTOWs are like, oh women are evil, blah blah blah, and the feminists are like, all men are rapists. No,
you know, it's interesting, Hannah, because the Western European white women have a really very high regard out there in the world today. And it's not because you're bad people. It's because there's reasons why. And same to us white guys. We have very – we're targets too because people want us. We're very desirable equally.
Yeah.
But for some reason, we're not desirable within ourselves. Why do you think that? I mean, obviously, we know about the programming. But
this,
to me, is the big key here to change, because white females are a target. And white men, by the way, are also a target. Believe me. If you're going to have some guy from China or some guy from America, the gal's going to want the American every time, because generally we're good people.
Oh, yeah. And see, I was just thinking this, maybe instead of having all this BS in people's heads, just sit down and, have a conversation with somebody,
Yeah, I'm thinking we need to kick you kids off the internet, man. We got to force you to go to some type of healthy camp, keep the alcohol to a minimum, go out, just talk, enjoy the fresh air, go for a hike, do something that we older guys would do, and just go enjoy yourselves together.
Absolutely. And I was just thinking this. I mean, it's
the old fashioned thing.
Yes, yes. I mean, this is going to sound kind of silly, but I've actually seen that, because of all these issues, that matchmaking services have cropped up left and right. And, they're actually being paid money to help people, find a mate. And so I was thinking, hey, why doesn't somebody on our side get involved in that,
maybe that's the business now, is white nationalists dating service.
I mean, it's like I said before, at first I said drastic times call for drastic measures, but this isn't drastic. It's just a little kind of silly. But
what's the mood right now on campuses right now between instances? What's the mood for you kids out there? My son's your age. So, okay. What's the mood for kids on campus right now?
Oh, boy. It's kind of hold on a second. I have another call.
Sure. Now that's Hannah, everybody. She's coming to us again. She's a millennial college student right now in the southwestern part of the United States. Again, she comes from a storied family with the Germans. It's not a storied family per se, but she had a situation where her grandmother, who was 11 at the time, was raped by the Russians as they came in to Germany. And so she heard those stories, and now she's saying that basically with the forced, really, again, 4, 5, 6 million African men coming into Europe. This is intended to do a breed out of Europeans. And she's saying basically, if there are any children that are impregnated, any impregnation should be aborted. And of course, that's her main.
No options.
Yeah, she would like to actually see that as a platform on some party somewhere. So, folks, there is a radical element out there available. But nonetheless, we kind of moved off of that because that point's easy to make. But again, we were talking the other week, a couple weeks with Stan, and we just feel that right now, we don't know how to get the kids, to just trust each other again. And that's a worrisome development that I think is something that really has to be addressed.
Yeah. And I will not. I do talk to people, but I try and talk to them off campus, because on campus it's just ridiculous. And did you know that? This programming gets worse and worse. I don't know if you've ever heard of it, but they've come up with something called affirmative consent.
Oh, now this is interesting. No, I don't know about this one.
Oh, dear God. It's retarded. I mean, I can't believe that anybody in their right mind would even, well, they're not in their right mind. But basically there's, these feminists are now saying that, If you're going to be intimate with somebody, you have to verbally tell them every single little thing you're going to do. And they have to be like, oh, yes, 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 I sign off on this, sign off on this, sign off on this. And if you don't do that, then, it's rape.
So they're trying to destroy any type of romance between the sexes, huh?
Yeah, yeah. They're trying to turn sex into a business contract, basically.
Mm. And this what's it called? Affirmed consent?
Affirmative consent. Yeah, it's insane.
How much mixed race, multicultural program is on campus nowadays?
It depends. I mean, but there's quite a bit of it. But it's not just, you know, mixed race, multicultural. There's all kinds of weird degeneracy that they push. I actually had a teacher I can't believe this man is a college professor. They actually got up in front of the class and told everybody that if you're a man and you're only attracted to other men and you only sleep with other men, then you're not gay if you don't, quote, identify as gay.
Well, again, I've never understood this identify stuff. really should be railroaded out of any intellectual type of institution because it's just stupidity.
Yeah, yeah. I think, you know, and going back to what you were saying earlier, how do we get, you know, boys and girls to get together again? I think we got to get them, you know, like you said, off the internet and away from all this crazy shit and just get them in, you know, a situation where you can just talk to the other person.
Hannah, you're live on FM radio. Watch your language.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry.
This is not your everyday podcast here.
I'm sorry.
We don't have we're just trying to protect the show here.
Yeah. Okay. I'm sorry. It's but yeah, it's just talk to, you know, another person, please. That's my message. You know, if anybody's got, you know, adult children, and you know they would like some grandkids. This might sound a little crazy, but you know, maybe you should pay, I don't know, for vacation for your son or your daughter with your significant other.
Yeah, that might not be a bad idea. From the 8, I didn't see the number pop in. I think 874 area code. Hi, welcome to Inside the Eye Live. Hello.
You mean
870? Yes, 870. Hi, welcome to Inside the Eye Live with Hannah.
Yeah, this is Daryl out of Arkansas, better known in chat as Stardust Mag.
Okay,
you were talking about the mandatory abortions if impregnated by. No, is this are you talking about, you know, the Muslim intention of right?
Okay, yeah, that's exactly what I'm talking about.
Okay. That to me looks like a one-way street. You know, you're only solving half the problem. And in my opinion, you know, not only, you know, should that be mandatory, but also the person that impregnated her should be hung. That's my opinion.
Oh, absolutely. That goes without saying. I totally support that, too. And I'm sorry if you didn't get the impression that, you know, I'm not saying they should be dealt with. Of course they should. You know, I'm just saying that a lot of people, they talk about that, but nobody talks about dealing with their spawn. So I just, you know, wanted to talk about the issue that's, I felt, is being neglected.
Yeah. And another interesting thing, guys, is in Eastern Europe, they take a whole different attitude towards the male and the female relations. If you have these Muslim guys coming into a bar and disrespecting the women, basically they're going to get their hats handed to them. And no one's going to do a thing about it. And this type of protection, women being protected by their men, this is gone in the West. We don't see it ever happening anymore. Men have been deracinated to the point to where they won't protect women. There's no integrity, honor, chivalry left in the West. And that's something also that needs to return. And the governments need to support it.
Oh, I was just thinking of how this all kind of comes full circle. You know, so you're talking about getting, you know, men and women together again. And I think that's a big reason why, you know, a lot of the men in the West won't, you know, protect their women and stand up to these invaders is that, you know, that kind of relationship is gone. But, you know, if we could just get women to, you know, love their men again and support their men again, I think you'd see a lot more of that.
Yeah, I think it's an inborn trait of being male. See, and if women kind of shove it off, well, men get the hint. Okay, we're not going to go risk ourselves for that. So, okay, that's fine. You're on your own. We still have to survive on our own equally, no matter what. So, I think that's a problem women honestly are creating for themselves by the attitudes. I don't think they just care to understand men anymore. Quite frankly, that's the men's take on our side, Tana. 870, anything else you want to add?
No, that was pretty much all I wanted to say. You know, I just thought, you know, it needs to be an even playing field because, you know, there's got to be some kind of deterrent out there. Over.
Well, that Stardust again from the chat room. Thanks for the call. Hannah, that's something that always used to be in the West, and we've lost that. I think that's a problem. You know, there was always this idea that, look, we're really easy, nice-going people, but once you cross a certain line, game over. That's it. We're not going to tolerate it, and we'll react. And that's been taken away equally. So this is a big task, big chore to change the direction.
It is. It really is, and it just... Oh, I wish that, you know, we could maybe sit all the young people down, just be like, you know, look, this is how it is. This is how you guys need to act. But, you know, sadly, we can't do it on a mass scale. I guess we have to start on an individual scale. So, yeah, you know, you mentioned that your listeners are a little bit older and, yeah, and I would totally suggest, you know, just, hey, if, you know, your son or your daughter is dating somebody, just, you know, support them in that. Well, buy him a plane ticket one of these days.
Well, you know, we generally do help as much as we can, but, you know, yeah. Americans by nature, individualistic anyways.
I know.
There's not much we can do about that.
And I think that... I mean, taking individualism to an extreme is not really a good thing. I think we need to start thinking of ourselves in terms of like more of like a group.
Mm-hmm. Do you see like some of the younger groups, like we've identified, like Identity Europa is something that seems to be doing some really good work. Do you have any of these types of groups that you can rely on in your area?
Not really. It's...
And Frank, we're out of time here. Hannah, we're out of time. That was a 5 minutes. Thanks for coming on. And that's Hannah, everybody. She says that basically every week should have an abortion from a black person. Frank, we're just out of time. Thanks, everybody. Catch you all next week.
Bye-bye.